Create and Thrive Podcast, Episode 26. How a natural disaster inspired Sonia McManus to follow her creative dreams.
You sort of sit at the crossroads and go, okay, well, I either carry on doing what I've been doing and just potter along, or I actually chase down something that is really, really meaningful to me.
I'm Jess Van Den, and this is the Create and Thrive Podcast. A former school teacher, I turned my handmade hobby into a thriving business, and I also teach other creatives how to do the same. My goal is to help you learn how to turn your creative hobby into a thriving, profitable business. So let's get learning. Hey Thrivers, Jess here. Welcome to the Create and Thrive Podcast. Today I have an interview for you with a wonderful woman called Sonia McManus, who I've known for a couple of years now. She has been one of my students a couple of times over the past few years, and I've just seen the evolution of her business and the amazing work that she's done. And so I wanted to invite her on the show to share her story, and boy oh boy am I glad I did. We had an amazing talk about so much, creativity, life, passion, business. I won't spoil it, but needless to say, a natural disaster was what made Sonia really change the direction of her life and kind of a crossroads, and she took the road less traveled. But I'll let her tell you more about that in the podcast, because she does such a wonderful job of telling the story. Sonia makes a beautiful Maori-inspired jewellery, eco-recycled jewellery, beautiful stuff out of sterling silver and native woods and things like that. And she's also started recently a second business, which she'll speak about in the podcast. And we're going to talk about that too, about the idea of splitting your creative work into, you know, maybe different businesses, because it doesn't all fit under the one brand. And we go into a bit of detail about that as well in the show. Before I dive in, two quick things. One, are you following me on Periscope yet? I'm starting to love it. I've done a few scopes now, and it's really fun. So I'm at Jess Van Den over on Periscope. I plan on doing a couple of scopes a week, mostly about creativity and business. I'll be sharing little tips with you, doing some Q&A, stuff like that. So yeah, at Jess Van Den on Periscope. If you don't know what Periscope is, it's a live streaming app, and it's really, really fun to become part of. And the second thing, very exciting thing that I launched last week, if you haven't heard about it, is my handmade business toolkit. It is exclusively for subscribers to my Create and Thrive mailing list, but it is free for those people. So if you're not already subscribed to my Create and Thrive mailing list, come and join over 8,000 people who are on the list who have access to the Handmade Business Toolkit. Just head over to createandthrive.com and look for the little sign up for the Handmade Business Toolkit. What is it? Well, it is all my free resources that are in ebook form and stuff like that. So I've written a couple of ebooks, just short ones, over the last few years, and I had made one or two of them available to my subscribers, but I wanted to put everything that I've created in one place so that it's accessible to you guys when you're subscribed. So there's I think 4 ebooks and a downloadable in there at the moment. There's my ebook From Nothing to a Sale a Day Online in 1 month. There's my ebook from last week's podcast, 25 Essential Tips for Handmade Business. There's an ebook called 10 Steps to Wholesale Readiness. And there's also the Studio in a Box guide that the author of our Create and Thrive Guide to Product Photography put together. It's a photographic guide showing you step by step how to make a little studio out of a cardboard box, which is pretty cool. And there's some awesome stuff in there already, and I plan on adding lots and lots of more great value to that over the coming forever. So go check it out, absolutely free for my CNT subscribers. And of course, you'll then get an email from me at least once a week with a link to this podcast and whatever awesome stuff's on the blog. So, yeah, it's all good. I think that'll do for now. Let's head on over to this interview with Sonia, and I'll let her share her story, which is incredibly inspiring, and it literally gave me goosebumps at one stage, as you will hear. So, yeah, let's dive into that. Okay, hi everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Today I have my student and friend, Sonia from Tiki Kiwi, here today. We're going to be talking about her creative journey with her business, which I've been privileged to see a lot of over the last few years, which is why I invited her to come on the podcast today, because she's done an amazing job building her little business up from the ground. So welcome, Sonia. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Jess. I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you.
As you can probably hear, I'm an Aussie and Sonia's a Kiwi, so we're just talking across the ocean here, not too far, which is nice.
Cousins,
that's right. So before we start, could you just tell us a little bit about you and your business? Just give us a little bit of the history of your creative journey so far.
Yeah, of course. I have always been a creative soul, I think. Sort of my first memory of being a creative person is way back when I was about 6 years old, and I loved painting. And I remember distinctly telling my dad that I just wanted to live on the family farm and paint pictures for the rest of my life. And unfortunately, it didn't quite work out that way, but way back in 2010 and 2011, we had, as some of your listeners will know, we had some pretty big earthquakes here in Christchurch.
Yeah.
And it turned a lot of things upside down for us and me personally. And it made me realise that there's really no time like the present to, you've really got to get going with the things that you're really passionate about. Mm. And one of the biggest things in my life from a passion perspective was my creativity, and I couldn't deny it any longer. I had been making things, pottering, playing in the art and creativity field for a long time, and I finally decided to take it from being a hobby and actually start to make it something that I could take forward. So in 2012, I did your setup shop course. Mm-hmm. And up until that point, I think I really had just had a hobby. I'd been to one or two markets with my product and didn't really know what I was doing, but Setup Shop really focused me. It really made me understand what I wanted, and it's blossomed from there. The very first thing I had was a little business, I suppose, called Creative Chook. Creative Chook morphed after Setup Shop into Tiki Kiwi because I realised that I really wanted to narrow my focus a lot, and Tiki Kiwi was born, and Tiki Kiwi has very recently, just in the last few months, has morphed again. So another arm has, I kind of see it as these things branch off it.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I've recently developed another little side business called Paper Petals, and that came from something I was doing within Tiki Kiwi, but just didn't quite fit. So I have Tiki Kiwi, which is Maori-inspired jewellery art that is specifically designed around recycled and sustainably sourced materials. And then Paper Petals, which is, again, it's down that creative, eco-friendly avenue.
Yeah.
And Paper Petals also, it's paper petals, it's paper flowers and flower related products. So that's basically the journey. Yeah.
So cool. So for you, it was kind of like, you know, you're going along, life's just happening, whatever. And then suddenly, bam, something major happens in your world. And that was kind of almost a wake up call to really go after what you wanted.
Absolutely. And I think for a lot of people, wake up calls come in various guises. It might be health wise, it might be family wise, it could be for us, it was our entire city.
Mm.
But I think you get to that point of no return where you sort of sit at the crossroads and go, okay, well, I either carry on doing what I've been doing and just potter along, or I actually chase down something that is really, really meaningful to me.
Man, I just got like the goosebumps then. You know, it's just such a, it can be such a massive kind of turning point that your life can just kind of go in. I mean, that happens to us all at various times, but life can, you know, you can just go along the path that you've been going on, or you can just make that massive change. And I think for most of us who do make that change to follow our passion, I don't think we regret it, even though it can be really hard.
No, absolutely not. And I think the idea of chasing it down and really following it is, it's so pivotal with insight. Like it's something that's very core inside you, and you're prepared, you get to a point where you're prepared to to take on the crap that comes with it. It's not an easy path. It's not the path of least resistance by any stretch of imagination. And you are prepared. I remember sitting with my son. I've got a 12 and a half year old son as well, and I'm a single parent. And we went camping last summer. And I remember sort of in this beautiful, beautiful location and sitting with him and having this thought go through my head, what if I let Tiki Kiwi go? Because I was right at a point where I was still working full time and I was a single parent and I was trying to make everything work. And I remember sitting and thinking, okay, what if I just let it go? And the knot inside me just went, no, you can't. You can't do that. That's not an option. So when you get to that point where that is not an option to let it go, then you start to make changes around you to accommodate it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, since we're on that topic, my next question for you is, what has been the biggest challenge you've overcome so far in your business?
I think my own self-doubt is probably...
That's a big one. Because,
yeah, it's probably... I was thinking about this question earlier, and yes, I could say financially it's been a struggle. Absolutely, that's a challenge to overcome. Time is a big challenge to overcome. Other people's perceptions is a big challenge to overcome. But I think deep down, the biggest thing to overcome has been believing in myself and that self-doubt and being able to package that little bit of self-doubt and go, that's what it is. It's okay. I can use it as a beneficial tool for myself, but actually going, right, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it wholeheartedly and I'm going to go. And whoever wants to come along with me on that journey, great. If you don't want to come along with me on that journey, that's okay too. But I'm on this journey. This is my pathway. I'm doing this. Really sitting in that place and believing that has been the biggest challenge, by far and away the biggest challenge, yeah.
And do you feel like you've kind of come out the other side of that now, or is it still something you struggle with?
I actually went through a period just a few weeks ago where I was in a really bad spot, just creatively, not being able to come up with any creative ideas. It was really just believing in those creative ideas.
Yeah.
I was able to have enough awareness, I think, of just sitting in that place and going, okay, it's okay to be in this really, really uncomfortable place. And if I sit in it long enough, then something will happen. And something did happen. And yes, being able to move through. I think it's part of the creative process.
Yes.
I think it's part of being a creative person. It's okay to have the self-doubts. What you've got to do is get a handle on acknowledging them when they come through, being able to sit with it and not judge yourself and just ride it out. It's like being on a stormy ocean, you know? You've just got to ride it out.
Yep. Yeah, I totally agree with you. And, you know, anyone who thinks going into this that it's all going to be ups is going to be mistaken. and it's perfectly natural. Like you said, you know, you're going to go through those periods of lulls in creativity or lulls in your confidence or whatever. But it's just having the belief and the kind of deep down knowing that you will get through it and come out the other side and possibly even better. Like it might be what you needed to kind of make a change or to absolutely move in a new direction or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
So flipping things over a bit here, what has been the biggest kind of fist pump moments or successful moments for you so far?
I think there's been a couple. One has been way, way back when I did set up shop. I was just selling through markets and I hadn't really explored the online world. And I remember sitting thinking, wow, imagine what it's going to be like that day I make my first genuine online sale. and not through Etsy and not through, we've got I know you've got in Australia, you've got Made It. We have one here called Discover Me, similar sort of thing here in New Zealand. Not through those channels where other people are marketing me, but a genuine online sale through my website just for me. And by crikey, when that one happened, that was a fist pump moment. That was a woohoo. And not only was it a fist pump moment, it was just so validating.
Yeah.
It was so validating to think, okay, I'm on the path, I'm doing this, it's working. And then the other one was just recently, I was actually reading in the Thriver Circle, in your Thriver Circle, about, you know, media kits and marketing yourself and so forth. And I finally took the step of approaching a magazine.
Yep.
Putting myself together a little media kit and approaching a magazine and going, hello, this is who I am. Would you like to do an article on me? And they came back and they said, yes, we would. We'd love to.
Awesome.
And so that was huge for me. That was because I'm quite an introverted person, and putting myself out there was quite difficult. So, yeah, that was a big fist pump moment. That was great.
That's fantastic. How exciting.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's very exciting. That like the first magazine you approached?
Yes,
yeah,
it was.
Oh, man. I love that story because people just, they kind of have this weird fear about reaching out to magazines or bloggers or whatever. It's like, oh, I'm going to be bothering them, or what if they say no? Well, one, what if they say no? Well, it's an automatic no if you never actually bother to approach them, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And, I mean, number two, what if they say yes?
Yeah, I mean, what if?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're looking for good content. That's their job. So, you know, you're helping them find good content by saying, hey, here's my stuff. I think, obviously, doing your research and picking someone who you think is going to like what you do, but it can be amazing for your business to do that. So congratulations. That's exciting.
Well, fingers crossed it'll be amazing for my business. The article comes out here in New Zealand in November, so just before the Christmas rush, which will be fantastic. So,
good timing. Yeah. I'm sure you'll share it with us in the circle. We'd love to see
it. I will.
Yeah. So now, do you ever have doubts as to your future creative direction? Now, I know we talked earlier, you mentioned you've got the new business that kind of branched out because you came up with something new and it realized it didn't fit with what you're currently doing. So, you know, do you ever have things that you really yearn to achieve but haven't found the time for as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Again, going back to your Thriver Circle, I think the book that you had this past month has been about the Renaissance soul, and that's really resonated with me because I'm really one of those people. and so I've always got something on the go. But quite recently, as I say, this Paper Petals idea had come up. It really blindsided me. Mm. It's been great. It's been fantastic. But it has made me it's actually made me sit and look at Tiki Kiwi in a different way. Mm. I don't think I would ever not do Tiki Kiwi. Tiki Kiwi is very much a part of me, of my soul and my journey. But I think, it's helped me. It's changed it. It's changed its approach. It's probably refined it for me as well. In terms of finding the time to do things, that's always going to be a challenge. There's always something that I want to do. What I would really, really like to do is being able to, I've always wanted to teach in some respect, or share information, share knowledge, because I'm a firm believer that there is enough in this world. I don't believe that we need to hold on to things and keep things secret and not share. I think our true value and our true wealth comes from sharing what we know and what we have. So I would love to be able to find more ways of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. Yeah, that's it. Sharing and teaching is really rewarding, and it can, you know, helping other people. And this, you know, that's why I do this podcast, and I'm sure this episode will be the spark for some people to make a change, and it's an amazing thing to be able to be part of that. So I'd like to dive quickly into just talking about why you made the decision to split Paper Petals from Tiki Kiwi instead of kind of combining them together.
The main reason that I did it is because of my audiences. Again, your setup shop and your shift course. I've done both of them. I'm a aficionado. both those courses talked very, very much, very strongly about identifying your target market and your audience, and having a very clear vision of who your audience is. But also being very clear about what your business is, picking three words that actually define your business or that really describe what your business is all about. Mm-hmm. And I had done that with Tiki Kiwi, very, very clear about that with Tiki Kiwi. And whenever I make something new or go to make something new or even look at a new marketing strategy, I have those ideas in my head. I know exactly what works and what isn't going to fit. Mm-hmm. And I was setting up a market stall for my my last market, and I decided that I wanted to have flowers on my market stall. Right. And I was just going to store and buy some beautiful flowers and have them. And my darling son was busily ripping pages out of a book for a project, and me went, "Oh God, you can't throw those away." And so I turned them into paper flowers, just because you can. On the market stall, and what a huge response for these paper flowers. And I realized that making the flowers filled a need in me that Tiki Kiwi didn't. Mm-hmm. But because it had nothing to do with Maoridom, mm-hmm. which is that's the key thing with Tiki Kiwi, is it's about Maori inspired anything. It didn't fit. It just didn't fit. There was no way I could make the flowers fit what Tiki Kiwi was all about. Yeah. No matter how I tried, and I tried very so I thought, well, again, it was that point, okay, do I want to let this go or do I want to pursue it?
Yeah.
And I decided that I wanted to pursue it, because it gave me a lot of joy, and I also saw it as quite an interesting business opportunity. Mm-hmm. So I decided to split them, and that has a lot of challenges. It's not very easy running two businesses.
No. But,
as you will know.
Yes.
However, because they fill very, very different needs in me, and they have very, very different target markets and audiences, and they're very different products, it's been quite easy to draw the line between the two of them.
Yeah.
And they are very, very different businesses. So it's great. It's challenging. It's challenging in lots of different ways. Mm. But it's almost like all the mistakes that I made initially with Tiki Kiwi, I'm now not making with paper pet.
Yep.
Because I've done that. I know what works and what doesn't work. So I guess it's probably gotten to a more successful stage more quickly than Tiki Kiwi did, mm-hmm. because I know what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, for those people who know me and have been around a while, you may know I've had two other businesses while I've been running Aferial. So Aferial is kind of where I started, and it's still my core business. But a few years back, I also ran a magazine for the handmade community, like a printed one, that I ran for about 2 years before I sold that off. And I also ran a second jewellery business for a while, sort of for the same reasons you were talking about, that I got really into vintage clothes, and my jewellery for Aferial just does not go with vintage clothes. So I started making, of course I'm a jeweler, I'm going to make my own jewelry. I started making jewelry that kind of fit with those outfits, and thought, hey, I'll start another jewelry business, because I was clear on what Aferial was, and I knew that this other jewelry, which was very different in style, would not fit with Aferial. And I didn't want to dilute my Aferial brand by bringing in this whole new range of jewelry that was completely different. And so I started a second business with that as well. And that one just kind of naturally died, because I got too busy with Aferial, and it was more of just a fun project. It wasn't really like I was aiming to make it super successful. Yeah. And also with my zine Bespoke, I actually consciously let go of that, because by the end of 2012, I'd had the idea for Create and Thrive, and I really wanted to really get into teaching in a deep way, and I knew that I couldn't do three things. To be fair, Nick said, you can't do three things. He's like, you know, you could do two, but three is pushing it a bit too far, because I'm the sort of person who'll just like throw myself into these new projects, and he keeps my feet on the ground and makes me realize maybe I should think about it a little bit more. So I had to consciously go, well, okay, I'm going to let go of Bespoke, even though I still loved it, to do this new thing. And it was the right decision, like in retrospect. At the time, I knew it was the right decision, but in retrospect, I can say with absolute yes, it was the right decision because it's allowed me to do the teaching, which I was a teacher before I was a jeweler, so it's like a school teacher. So it really was a huge thing and it made a big difference. And I think a lot of people in the handmade community come up against this issue because they either they make a lot of different stuff at the beginning or they're making stuff and then, like you, something comes up, or like me, and they have this idea for some new creative product, but it just doesn't fit with what they're doing. And it's very difficult making that decision to split or not to split. And I think the hardest part of it is that if you do split, you basically double the amount of marketing you have to do because you have to do it for both businesses.
That's right. You have two Facebook pages, you have two Instagram accounts, you have it gets complicated. But you can, there's also the other way to look at that though is that you can cross promote.
Yes.
So you can promote yourself across your two channels, which I always feel a little bit guilty doing. It feels a little bit disingenuous, but hey, you know, you do what you've got to do.
Yeah.
I think the one thing as a creative person, I think it's really, really important to have a hobby because and keep something creative as a hobby because we want to have that day off, whether it be a week or a month or whatever, from our business where we can just have that joy of creating for the sake of creating, painting for the sake of painting, whatever it is. And I think it's really important to have a hobby that you keep as a hobby that you don't want to build a business out of. You want to make beautiful, I don't know, cookies for, you know, all your friends and have beautiful decorated cupcakes, whatever it is that floats your boat.
Yeah.
But something that's just a hobby, because otherwise, you run the risk of A, diluting your brand, which is not a good thing, B, running yourself ragged by burning the candle at both ends.
Yeah.
And you don't serve the audience that you've built up so strongly. Like, you work so hard to build up an audience that's akin and aligned to your brand.
Yes.
And then you're going to almost alienate them by saying, hey, here's all this new product that all these other people might like. So it just doesn't work. So I think it's really important to have a hobby because that creative outlet can make a big difference.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Because once you turn your hobby into a business, it's not a hobby anymore. And you have to stop just making for yourself and you start making for your customers. So, you know, you lose that complete creative freedom that you have when it is just a hobby.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so another question for you. This is always one that's fascinating. How do you balance your work with the rest of your life? Like, what does a typical day look like for you?
Can I just say badly?
It's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress. Yeah. That's exactly right. I'm very lucky. I have a wonderful son who is now 12 and a half. So he's kind of almost at the stage where he's doing a lot of things for himself. Mm-hmm. But recently, just in the last 6 months, I left full-time work to pursue have more time in my business. So a typical day for me, I get up at about 5 a.m. every morning. Ooh. And I try to get up at 5 a.m. every morning. The alarm goes off at 5 a.m. Some days are better than others, but I try and do, I have a morning routine as much as possible. So many years ago, I read The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, which really resonated with me. And part of the journey within her framework is to sit and have a 30-minute writing meditation, and she calls it the morning pages. And I've been doing that for quite a long time, off and on. But I try and sit most mornings for 30 minutes and just write and write and write and write. It doesn't matter what I write. I sometimes never go back and reread it, but I just write.
Yeah.
And it's just a meditation, and it's amazing what comes out of it actually. And then really my day is get up, get going, get the lunch made, get breakfast made, do whatever housework I've got to do, get all that stuff done. I work 20 hours a week, so I have two part-time jobs. One of them I can work from home, the other one I go into an office. Mm-hmm. Get my son off to school. I have one day a week outside of weekends where I work on Tiki Kiwi or paper petals.
Yep.
So I have that luxury, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. And after school is generally a little bit hectic, as most as parents or caregivers will know about. But the evenings are mine. So evenings are my time to, I might be making product, filling orders, doing my emailing, doing my social media, scheduling things. That's my time.
Yeah.
And weekends, I try and have one day off a fortnight mm-hmm. to hang with the young fella. He's of an age now where he sometimes doesn't want to hang with his mother, which is that's okay. That's fine. He's growing up, so that's all right. But try and have that one day a fortnight off. So every second weekend, I'm working on my business.
Yeah,
and that's it. It's a full-time day, full day. And sometimes I do tend to burn the candle a bit at both ends. Mm-hmm. So sometimes I'm not going to bed before midnight. But that doesn't actually last very long because you can't get up at 5 a.m. and go to bed at midnight for extended periods of time. So I only do that when I have to. Usually, I'm hitting the sack by about 10:30, 11. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so that's a typical week, I guess. It's pretty busy.
Yeah, pretty full on. But I think, having that defined time off is really important, even if it is just one day a fortnight. Mm-hmm. Kind of, you can look forward to it, and you can get away from everything and just enjoy yourself.
Yes, absolutely. And that's really important because it brings you back to square one mm-hmm. as well. And it's also, if when you have your hobbies, that's your time that you can devote to that as well.
Definitely. Cool. So what, marketing, let's talk marketing. What's the best marketing move you've ever made for your business, do you think?
I think actually the best marketing move I've done is choosing not to do markets. Which has been interesting. And I probably should qualify that by I do markets for the Paper Flowers, mm-hmm. but not for Tiki Kiwi largely. And from a marketing perspective, that's a strategic move because I know that most of the audience that I have, they don't attend markets.
Right.
So, and certainly the people that do attend markets can't really or aren't looking for products that are in the price point that I have. Mm-hmm. So marketing wise, choosing to keep Tiki Kiwi online has been a really important decision to make. Mm-hmm. And in terms of marketing tools, my tool du jour at the moment is Instagram. I absolutely love Instagram. I love the spontaneity of it. I love the interactions with people. I love the fact that it doesn't have, it's kind of like what Facebook used to be like.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it will change, and it's really important to keep on top of whatever the next thing is. And looking at your work, Jess, I think Periscope is the next one that I've got to dive into and have a bit of a look at.
Yeah, I'm playing around with that at the moment.
That looks like a lot of fun, actually, a lot of fun. But Instagram, I think marketing-wise, that's a really, really big thing. Putting together a media kit and taking that leap of faith to put my name out there with media outlets, that's been a big thing as well and beneficial.
Yep, that's really awesome. I love that you actually, this is not something you hear very often, that your best marketing move is to not do something. that's a really interesting point. And I don't do markets either, really. I can't remember the last time I did one because my product just isn't really suited to that environment. Like, we mostly sell wedding rings and they are, $100 plus. They are custom made in your size. So, yeah, I mean, if I do a market, it's pretty rare that we sell much. Like, we might sell some of the lower end earrings and necklaces and stuff, but it just doesn't make sense for us. So that's why we don't do it. So that's really interesting. And interesting how you said that you do it for your flowers because you tend to have a good response there for your flowers. So that's also fascinating. Now, I'd like to ask you to give our listeners one piece of advice that what's one piece of advice you'd like to give fellow makers about running a successful creative business?
Just don't give up. Keep going. Really, something you said, I think, way back, Jess, was that it's a marathon, it's not a sprint.
Yep, I say that
and,
a lot.
And that's very, very true, and it really is. And I think that's something, when you have those days or those weeks and sometimes those months where you don't get the sales that you were hoping for, where things just aren't going well, or something's happened in other parts of your life that have put the kibosh on things, and you're really feeling... you're really doubting yourself. I think that little mantra of, you know, it's a marathon. You're in this for the long haul. This is my business. This is my career. This is what I do. Don't give up. Keep going. That's the one thing, I think, you know, taking that big picture approach to it rather than getting caught up in the day-to-day bits and pieces that go on. Yeah.
I love that. Sean McCabe, who runs the Sean Wes podcast, he says, you know, what separates the people who succeed from the people who don't is that the people who succeed show up every day for 2 years, not expecting anything. Like, you know, it's thinking long term, you know, don't expect it to all take off within a month or 3 months or even 6 months or even 2 years. Like, you have to, if you're serious about it, you have to be in it for the long haul and just understand that it will take time and that's normal, and that, you know, just to persevere. And that will make all the difference in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So where do you see yourself and your businesses, say, in about 5 years' time, looking down the track, speaking of long term?
Interestingly, I think Tiki Kiwi, my major market is actually the US.
Yes.
I also sell wedding rings, but the wedding rings that I sell are through Tiki Kiwi are recycled native timbers.
They are very cool.
And I love them. They are a real labor of love, and I adore them. But we have a very big expatriate community right around the globe for Kiwis.
Yeah.
And a lot of the so I guess 5 years down the track, I really want to be moving strongly into the States.
Yeah.
That's the market that I'm looking at. That's on my horizon. So I'm sort of putting steps in place at the moment to try and get into that market more strongly. Mm-hmm. I think with the paper flowers, interestingly, I find myself looking at those and seeing myself as more of an artist than a crafter. And at the moment, I'm just exploring some really interesting things about art installations for my paper flowers. Mm. So 5 years down the track, I would really love to see that the paper flowers are not so much a market-based selling tool. I would like to see them as much more of an art installation. It's an artistic expression rather than a business as such, I think.
That's very cool. It's interesting looking at that, because hearing you talk about that, like, I hear Tiki Kiwi, you know, very business orientated, very much, you know, this is where I'm going to go with my business and find that market and make the money. Whereas for the paper flowers, it's very much it's fulfilling a creative need in you. And you perhaps, while you can see how you can monetize it, that's not the ultimate aim.
No, that's absolutely correct. And I think I've been able to see that right from the get-go, and that's probably why I chose to, well, a big reason why I chose to split it off from Tiki Kiwi initially, and very, very early on, rather than trying to persevere making it fit, because they are very, like I said before, they're very, very different. And it's good to be able to put my business brain on with Tiki Kiwi and really have that very, very much hard-nosed business focus, whereas it's a bit more fluffy, I think, if you like, with the paper petals.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the products themselves fit those philosophies too, which is really cool.
That is cool. Okay, well, I wanted to ask you to share, I like to ask all of my interviewees to share a quote that inspires and motivates you.
There's been one that's been pervasive right through my life, and it's from the wonderful Helen Keller, and she said that life is a daring adventure or nothing.
I love that.
And my life has always been about that. It is taking the road less travelled, and genuinely viewing life as an adventure. Life is an adventure in all its glory and all its pain and suffering. It's an adventure. And it's an adventure or it's nothing at all.
Yeah.
And that's my philosophy.
I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Now, before we finish, where's the best place to find you online for those people who've been listening and just like, I want to know more about this woman, where can I find her?
Sure. I think I'm probably most active on Instagram, to be fair. Tiki Kiwi Designs on Instagram, or Paper Petals NZ for New Zealand on Instagram. But you can also find me Tiki Kiwi, TikiKiwi, for those of you that aren't Kiwis and don't understand my accent, TikiKiwi.com. And Paper Petals is very much a New Zealand-based business, so it's paperpetals.co.nz.
Thank you so much. I've enjoyed this chat immensely. It's so nice to talk to you like in detail, and you just have so much passion and so much, you know, hard-won knowledge about business and about creativity in life, and it's been an honour to be able to share that today with my audience. So thank you for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Jess. It's very, very nice of you to invite me, and it's been wonderful to be here. Thank you.
How awesome was that? I hope you enjoyed that. Sonia's definitely an inspiration, you know, single mum, doing it on her own and creating an amazing business in the last few years. Again, for those of you who haven't already, hop on over to Create and Thrive, sign up for my mailing list, and you will get access to that awesome handmade business toolkit. Don't miss it. And check me out on Periscope at Jess Van Den. I'd love to chat to you when I'm scoping. That's the fun thing about it. You know, we can actually have a conversation in live, real time, which is really, really fun. I hope you enjoyed that episode. As always, you can subscribe to the Create and Thrive podcast on Stitcher or iTunes, or just pop over to the blog. And if you're on the mailing list, you'll get a reminder every week of this week's episode. So yeah, I'm Jess Van Den. Thank you so much for listening. Now get out there, create and thrive.